Thank you for joining us. And now we want to talk to you about our God-centered concept discipleship series that we have been promoting for a very long time on this show. Here is the book, Victory in Seven by T.S. Wright, the God-centered concept discipleship series that teaches you what real discipleship looks like. This first book will simply get into the foundational process. Make sure you go to Amazon.com and order your copy right now.
Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth, discipleship, and the calling of spreading revival. Now your host, T.S. Wright.
Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads. I am your host, T.S. Wright, and I am so glad you could join us today. First of all, before we begin, I just want to thank everyone for being a part of this great community. And if you haven't already, hit that subscribe or like button and, you know, give us a follow. We appreciate anything you can, anytime you can hit those buttons, because that helps us to continue to bring you more of the great content that you love. And now, without further ado, I want to introduce Cassian Bellino. Now, Cassian is, she's kind of a Bible scholar, but she has her own, kind of her own angle on this. And she's interviewed several people on her podcast, Biblically Speaking, and she really focuses her attention on just being open with a lot of Q&A on a variety of topics on her different social media sites. That's really where her heart is and her focus is, just reaching people, having these conversations. So without further ado, Cassian, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This is going to be such a good conversation.
Oh yeah, I have absolutely no doubt about that. So anyway, Cassian, I am ready to ask you to just dive in here and just share your journey with us. Tell us your story, really let this audience understand kind of how God has worked in your life and really built you to the point of where you're at now.
Oh gosh, where do we begin? It's so funny that you called me a scholar, because I would not use that word. I would say I'm curious and I'm confused. Those are two whole truths right there. And I was raised the faith. I am the youngest of four other kids. My family, we're tight-knit, we're enmeshed, some would say. But I knew as an adult, like a young adult, fresh out of college, that I did not have my heart in the faith that I was raised in. And I was raised non-denominational and Russian Orthodox. So I had like a lot of exposure to the faith. And it wasn't just like a just on Sundays kind of faith. It was like integrated into the lessons my mom built in us and the conversations that we would have about who we wanted to be and how we were held accountable. And yet my heart wasn't on fire for the Lord. And I started to approach the faith very objectively of like, I don't want to follow God out of compulsion. And I feel like being Christian is a little cringy. And you look at people at church and just like didn't look like something I wanted to be a part of, but I'm supposed to be. You know, that's kind of the identity that I was raised in. And I kept praying the same prayer my entire life of, Lord, I want to want you, but I don't. And I think there was that authenticity, that humility, that honesty of like, listen, God, I am not where I should be. I am behind on this race. But it seems like a really good idea to love you, to follow you, but I don't know you. And I can't love somebody I don't know. So how do we get to know you? And I didn't know what I needed at the time when I was praying that prayer. I was like 18 and I was having sex and I was doing drugs. Like, I was the worst of the worst. By no means was I living like a pious life. But I knew in my heart, in the future, I wanted to be a godly woman. I wanted to be who my mother was to me. And I just didn't even know how to get there. You know, what are options do you have when you go to church every Sunday and you're raised in the faith and yet you still feel this way? Where do you go? And maybe a smart person would say seminary, you know, you just keep studying that one. But I'm not a smart person. I wanted the easy route. I wanted someone to just explain it to me. And I remember so clearly, I was living in Thailand after college. And I had this amazing dream job. I was working sustainability, working in a hotel. And I was going to church and I was so far from home. I'd never lived that far away from my family for like alone. And I was going to church and went up to the pastor, and it was this really cool Thai church, and I was so homesick, and it was led by this Swedish couple. Like, it was half Thai, half English. It was the coolest experience. And I felt so like that was my safe place, because it was like the most familiarity I had to my culture at that point. And I went up to the pastor feeling very bold. I said, listen, I think that everybody here would benefit if you gave some context before we dived into scripture. You know, like, who's John? How old is John? Where is John living? If John lived today, like, what would he be doing for work? And she's like, these are great questions, Cass, but I think that you should go to Bible study. You know, like, who was I thinking I was entitled to this kind of truth? I truly, genuinely thought I was doing us all a favor by asking a question maybe no one had asked before. She's like, yeah, no, just go to Bible study. I'm like, I am in Bible study. I'm already in the Bible study right now. And she's like, okay, well then maybe go to seminary. And I just had this kind of moment of abandonment with that pastor. And like, it's not her fault at all. She does not owe me anything. She's doing her job correctly. I'm asking for quite a bit there. I'm asking her to do her job differently. And I still felt abandoned of like, okay, so my options are to stay confused in my faith or to enroll in school and cash out thousands of dollars. Like, what gives? And I feel like a few weeks later, I'm at lunch with my friend and we go to the same church. And I'm like, I just wish there was a podcast where someone so smart, not a pastor with an altar call, just smart, could explain to me the questions that I have about the Bible. And maybe like someone funny. Maybe there's just like a little bit of humor, because we have a sense of humor because God gave us one. And she was like, oh, guys, we could do that. And I'm like, you and I are idiots. We could not do that. Like, we're the ones that need it. And I just wish I could hug that Cass from 2018 sitting in a basement in Thailand eating mall food and just be like, that was it. That's what biblically speaking is. It's for her. Because once I did start it 7 years later, well, I guess 2023, I was now living in Hawaii, still not on fire for God. But over those 5 years, God had very slowly worked on my heart. I had maybe creaked open a door and he very slowly opened it a little bit more. And he brought books into my life that were really, really interesting to read. So I wasn't reading Christian literature. Ew. I was reading really good stories like The Book of Longing, which is a fictional book, but it's told through the eyes of a Jewish woman who marries Jesus. Crazy. But you suddenly read it and you're like, this is what it loved. Like, this is a different way of loving Jesus. You get to the crucifixion, your heart's broken because you're reading it as if you're his wife. Other books like Crazy Love. I postponed that book for so long because everyone warned me, this book's going to change your life. That book is like maybe 80 pages. And it changes everything because Francis Chan he doesn't hold back in the way of saying like, this is the Christian faith. Take it or leave it. You cannot be 1 foot in, 1 foot out. So if you're going to say you're a Christian, you have to commit to the bit. And I remember one line in that book where he says, the only two things that we should be called to do in this life is to know God and love others. And I remember in my lukewarmness, I'm like, that's it. I can do that. Like, I thought being Christian was like, abandon every desire, you know, commit to everything, like lose everything that's ever made you happy. But it's just knowing God and loving others, like, okay, God, let me know you. Let me know you. And if you're objectively the best thing that everybody says, then I'll have no choice, right? Like, my hands are tied at that point. Like, why would I not go with that option? So God, show me. And he did. And I had visions from the Lord. I joined powerhouses of Bible studies. And then I ended up breaking up with this guy who I was like so in love with, but we were unequally yoked. And that mattered a lot to me at that point. And then I moved out here and I was still searching for God. I was still searching for those answers. I still had so many questions that I wanted to raise my hand and ask in church. And I'm living out in Hawaii. And I kind of bring it up to my sister, and having somebody that you can talk about faith with is just such a life hack. And Maggie is that to me. And I remember mentioning, like, I just wish I like could find that podcast. It still doesn't exist. And like, trust me, I'd looked. I've been searching. Every podcast I'd listened to was just too emotional or didn't go academically deep enough or went way too academically deep. And I was like, I had more questions than answers. Just like never fit the bill for me. My sister's like, well, maybe you're supposed to do it. I was like, girl, did you know what I do in college? Like, I am not the pious woman that should be leading a conversation on faith. Like, I'm like the first one to say I have a log in my eye. And I just gave God all these reasons why I shouldn't start this podcast. Like, I didn't have any scholars. I don't know how to do a podcast. What technology do you need? I'm a bad representative. I'm going to look like a hypocrite. I'm kind of scared to be that public about my faith. And like each one God solved. And it got to a point where I met this pastor on a plane, and then we had a phone conversation. I told him my idea, and he was like, hey, I've got bad news, but this is a command from God. This is no longer an idea. You have to obey it. I was like, why'd you say that? Why'd you have to put that pressure on it now? And then I remember talking to a friend who had a podcast, and I was like, I'm so afraid of failure. Like, I'm so afraid of doing this and it not working out. And she's like, well, that just means no one listened to it. And nobody listens to it, then no one knows that it happened. I was like, okay, done and done. And of course, like, I have a friend who meets a scholar. He's willing to come on. All of his colleagues are willing to come on. I'm like, okay, God, I've got no excuse now. And I tried to give you as many as I could. So I start the podcast, and here we are 2 years later, next month. And it went viral on social media with just like leading with, like, it was such a God plan. Like, no part about this was like my idea. Like, it's so perfect that God was like, all you're going to do is be honest about what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have answers from very smart people that you skip the line at seminary. They're going to break down years of education in 60 minutes to you. And they're going to break it down in a way that you can understand. All you have to do, Cass, is like admit that you don't know anything and like make it fun. And there was this video where I didn't know. Like, I cannot emphasize enough how much I didn't know. I didn't know that the first five books of the Bible are the Torah. And that moment where I learn it is captured. And it goes online, and it goes viral. And half the comments are, wow, what an idiot. I knew this so young. How could you call yourself a Christian if you didn't know this? And the other half were people going, I didn't know this either. I've been a Christian for 25 years, and I had no idea. And I was like, my people, this is amazing. And it just like slowly became bigger and bigger and bigger. And people from different countries, like you were saying before, like you've got people in countries you can't pronounce being like, this is like bringing gospel to me. And I saw on Spotify, like 120 countries are listening to my podcast, which like this is a win. Like, this is, I'm already succeeding because I'm spending time with God. But like the fact that like we all get to learn, we all get to kind of go together is such a blessing. And now my faith has just like, it's changed my life. And I've given God many times. I'm like, God, you can take this away. This is very hard work. This is very hard. It's taxing. The emotional and spiritual warfare that comes outside of that, the time it takes to do something that pays you nothing monetarily. But this was the command. So we're going to keep doing it. And I was like, God, you started this. You can end it. Ended it. We're going strong. And I've had some life-changing conversations. My life has changed. The way I approach relationships has changed. Following faith is no longer something that good people do to be Christian. It's the only logical decision you can make in this life. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, it's a very interesting decision because our faith is so unfathomably big and bottomless and endless. And there's so much to learn. And it's always good. And it really points back to a God that loves us. And then you compare it against like other religions and other belief systems and how that's never the same as the God that we serve. Like, we do serve the King of Kings, and every story just like points back to that truth. So what was the original question?
Just go through your journey.
And so now here we are, and I get to talk to amazing people like you about how God has changed my life. And Amen. It really just, the success and all of this is on God's dime. It's just so amazing that I get to be a part of that, because like, what a wretched person I am to be trusted with so much.
So I'll just say this. April 9th, 1992, I received Christ in my dorm room as a freshman in college. And I had exposure to going to a Catholic school. I had been in a Southern Baptist church a little bit with friends, and a Lutheran church. And I had attended all kinds of stuff, but it was really the outreach ministry that got to me. And there's a whole story behind that, which we're not going to tell here because I don't want to burn all the time. But I will say this, after receiving Christ, doing all the things that the Lord has led me to do, the closer I get to Him, the more sinful I realize that I am. And I've been doing this since 1992. So it's never over. I mean, it never ends. You know, it's a process of growing and continually surrendering and continually letting the Holy Spirit convict you and reshape you and lead you to do more and connect to Him closer. I mean, it's not just all the tactical and transactional stuff, but it's the relational stuff that comes with it. That is the real depth of our following with Christ. It's the relationship. You know, we can do all the things, but it's the relational side that matters the most. And I think you've obviously not only pierced that ground, you've broken through it and realized that this relational side is the part that leads you to obedience. It's the transactional's the part that follows after, not the part that gets you there. And I think that's sometimes the issue that people have, is that they try to think that this transactional tactical stuff and the tactical legalistic stuff is what gets you to the relationship. That's actually not true. It's you connecting and getting and submitting to the relational part that leads you to do the other. And so it's the other way around. And I think that's an important concept for people to embrace in their faith. And so I've had that conversation with many people, and I know myself is that when I'm focused on the relational, it's easier to teach. It's easier to lead. And it's easier to deal with all of the attacks and the spiritual warfare that comes at you rather than when you're just focused on the tactical and the transactional. And I think that's an important aspect. And, you know, and you keep your heart centered on Christ when we do that. And, you know, so I think that's important. I have a question for you. And this was just, I just looking at the leaning of the way that you approach this and the way God has structured you to approach it, you know, advise somebody who is struggling with doubts or feelings, feeling disconnected from their faith, you know, and really how do they find encouragement? I mean, just, you know, talk a little bit to that.
Man, I would be nothing without like the support system of like people that can walk in faith with you. It is incredibly hard it's incredibly hard for you to live this life without accountability, especially with a God that, you know, can't FaceTime you back or call you. And I think like having sisters, and not everybody has sisters, not everybody has a close friend that they can talk faith with, but I think that is like the power of what church does. It like, it brings you people that like understand the long-term gratification that you get with bearing your cross every day. Like, it is hard, so hard, but it's worth it. And not a lot of people understand that. And so I think if you are lost, like finding someone that you can really consult in, because like our God is so great, but it's not easy. I don't think we should ever paint that picture that Christianity is easy, but it's worth it. But I think anybody that might have doubts, it's so easy, like the easiest like fix, I'll give it to you right now. If you're just doubting and you're not even sure where to go, or like what to do next, is I would just like say this little prayer, whether you believe it wholeheartedly or not. And I would say, God, if you're real, let me see it. Like, prove me wrong. God, this feels silly because maybe I'm not used to praying, but God, you seem great. But to be honest, I'm like one foot out because it seems bogus. I'm going to be honest about how I feel about this. It feels XYZ. It feels ridiculous. It feels like I'm blind faith. It feels ignorant, whatever it might be. But God, apparently you're great. Show me that. I have a genuine desire to see your greatness, and leave it there. And then watch what he does. Yeah. Like, we don't believe in something that shows up half the time. We believe in something that shows up all the time. So like, I'm asking you to do something, buckle up, because something will follow. That's why I'm asking you to do it. Like, I don't have, like, there's only so much convincing I can do. Hopefully my life and my testimony is enough, because that's all I've got. But I would say, if you're feeling lost and you need encouragement and you're not sure what to do, get ready, like ready yourself. I would find support and I would say that prayer and I would get ready for God to reveal himself. And I would lead with the genuine curiosity. Like, I think that having somebody explain it to me made me even more curious, made me even more passionate, made me feel like there was so much logic. And that's what worked for me. I think there's other avenues for other people, but listen to my podcast, you know, maybe that will strike a chord. I recommend to anybody who is maybe more agnostic, atheistic, believes in a more naturalistic view of the world, listen to some of the scientists that I've had on my podcast. Listen to some of the people who were on Is Genesis History, which was like a documentary you can watch on YouTube or Amazon. And it's like geologists and scientists and genealogists and people and archaeologists who say, look at all this data that points back to Christ, that points back to the Bible, that points back to all of the history that the Bible talks about. It's right here in front of us. I have Dr. Robert Carter come on, and he's just such a joy to talk to. But I've had many scholars from that documentary on my show, because to me, as a Christian who's lukewarm, I'm like, if they're talking about this, I've got questions. And Dr. Carter was on my show, and we talked about, can the timeline that we're taught in biology class fit into the timeline that the Bible states, with, you know, the beginning of time with Adam and Eve to everything that we see? Like, you know, when was the Ice Age? When was that in the Bible? You know, when were the pyramids being constructed? When was that in the Bible? We talk about that. And it's such a fascinating conversation. And maybe that's just like the gateway drug into Christianity that you need. It's just like the familiarity of science, but like the truth of the word. So that's what I would recommend, is to listen to maybe episodes like that. Or if you're Jewish and you just like want to dip your toe in Christianity, I have a whole episode with Dr. James Sedlacek where we talk about the history of Jewishness and the Torah and how it became Christianity through geopolitical climate, timeline, authorities in power, politics, into Jesus, into post-Jesus, and how the Gospels were spread out, and legally what came about, and how that influenced the rise of the Septuagint and Greek understandings of the New Testament, and how we interpret the old Hebrew versions of the Old Testament, and even the Greek version of the Old Testament. And so maybe that is your gateway drug into it. We have conversations for that. That to me is always what drew me in. And even maybe if you're more apologetic / atheist, I think if you're an atheist, you are born to be the best apologetic. You know what you're up against. And so you're looking for truth. And I've had people on like Andrew Rappaport, who we have spent an entire episode talking about, like, well, there's no such thing as an atheist, and here's why. Or even with Dr. James Sedlacek, like, he's one of my favorites. He always comes back on. He's so smart. We talk about, you know, eisegetical and exegetical understandings of the word, and how we look at a scripture like Jeremiah 29:11 and say, wow, that clearly is a promise that God's making to me, that I'll be good to go, I'll be prosperous, and I have a plan. No, that was news to me as a Christian. What is the proper way to understand these biblical scriptures? If we're going to study the word, let's study it correctly. Amen. So what's the correct understanding? Whole episode on that with Sedlacek. So that's the point of the podcast. Like, if somebody's lost, I would say lead with what you don't know and what you're interested in. And then, like, God will take your hand and you'll go running off to the races.
Amen. Amen. The Jeremiah 29:11 has got to be one of the most misused verses that I have ever seen people use.
It's a two-edged sword. You're like, wow, we're so wrong. But then you understand it and it's so amazing.
Yeah. You've got to read. Look, and I tell people this all the time. When you read a verse, I want you to read the whole chapter, and then I want you to read the chapter before, and I want you to read the chapter after, and then I want you to pray over it.
That's hard for Christians.
And then I want you to meditate over it. Yeah, and then I want you to meditate over it. And by the way, so this is something that I've done, and I'm going to challenge all of you guys to do is to slow down in your Bible reading. Let the Lord lead you to a passage of study.
Slowing down is such a good idea.
And then I have literally stayed in the same passage for 3 months, reading it over and over and over and over.
What passage?
Well, I've done that with Matthew 13. I've done that with Revelations chapters 2 and 3. I mean, I could close my eyes and recite them, basically. I've memorized the entire book of Philippians. And I've also done that with Deuteronomies chapters 4 through 12. I've also been led to do that with Psalms 112 and Psalms 115. And so I have some of those passages that the Lord has just kept me there and just make me pound it until I know it.
Yeah.
And then I know every angle, every apologetic angle, every spiritual angle that I can bring to it. And what it's done is it's helped me write my discipleship series, because we have a 40 lesson discipleship series that we can take you from beginning Christian to being ready to share your faith with confidence with anybody. Wow. And so that's what we do, and that's really what we're all about. The God Center concept is based on that. And, of course, we got our books in the publishing, or the editing and publishing phase, and we're working to do that. So that kind of gives you an idea of what, you know, really what we're about on the God Center concept side. But I love the angle that you're taking with this. I think this is, you know, I'm going to tell you guys listening to the show, you need to ask questions, and then you need to dig. And then when you think you know, dig again. And then when you think you know it, keep going. Just keep going. She's speaking to my heart here.
We're afraid we're going to get an answer we don't like. Like, exactly. Why is homosexuality bad? That's a hard question to answer. We're afraid to ask it. We're afraid to answer it. But God has an answer.
Well, I will tell you, if you want to really understand that question, the guy to talk to is Christopher Watkin. Read his book, French Philosophy Today.
I've had at length conversations with Dr. Tim Yance on both that and transgenderism.
Yeah. And it's, but Watkin will tell you for the, where it started. He'll tell you the roots of it. I mean, he'll start giving you some of those pieces. And when you start learning the roots of all this stuff, like one of the things that I can tell you about that, that most all sexual immorality is born from idolatry. Ever always remember that.
Yes.
And most of it is born from the worship of false gods, because I don't want to get too graphic here, but we'll just say the height of sexual experience was a signal to worship towards God. Well, what happened was, is they would do that towards false gods. And then when they do that, it's like, and I tell people, it's like opening a 10-lane spiritual highway to the enemy.
Yeah.
When you are in that state, because that vulnerability is going to, you've opened yourself up to something false. If you are not doing it God's way, in his timing, and for his reasoning, then you are going to be out of alignment. And when you're out of alignment, his spirit is not going to be there to protect you. His angels are not going to be there to protect you. And you're going to have this massive 10-lane highway that this, you're opening yourself up to things you don't want to open yourself up to. Ungodly attachments is what I call them.
Absolutely. I've been like really convicted recently about a very specific sin of mine, and I wanted to keep doing it so bad. And my sisters, they were like, Cass, this isn't you. You shouldn't do it. And I'm like, I know I'm not supposed to, but I want to. And if I'm going to be honest, I stopped. I repented. Sucks.
Amen.
But I didn't stop it because I felt bad about sinning. I stopped it because I was so afraid of God's wrath and That's what right. life would be like out of alignment with him, if I'm going to be honest with myself.
So how many times in the Bible does it tell you to fear God in some way, form, or fashion? Almost 500. That's a lot. It tells you that many times. We have to walk in the fear of the Lord, because our flesh is wicked, it is evil, it is unbalanced, and it is corrupted. And it's corrupted at its core.
You know what like really helped me understand like what I'm being afraid of? Because I think like fear of God, oh, the wrath, sit like hell, you know, people like think of this monster. Just read the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. Look at the wrath that he was so easily like, and the rest of your generation will know skin disease for the rest of their lives. That alone, is so specific.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to today's episode. And we just want to give a big shout out to Richardson, Texas, who is a community that is a big supporter of our show. And they download a lot of shows and listen to everything that we put out there. And we just want to say, we thank you for that. And we hope at some point that we can come visit you and be able to minister to you guys and to bring you the God-centered concept to your area. And that goes for every area we've given shout outs to. And if you want us to come to your area, then get more people to download our show, as that is the areas that we want to focus on, are the ones that are really listening and tuning in. And we want to be able to come to you guys and be able to minister to you the discipleship program that we have in person and getting you guys connected to our online programs. So please reach out to us. Let us know that you're listening. We can obviously, we see it in our downloads and our numbers, but we also, if you give us a message, we can also respond that way. Thank you guys so much for being great listeners, Richardson, Texas. We are praying for you, and we pray the gospel continues to impact you and our show impacts you in every way. God bless every one of you, and thank you. And we hope to hear from you soon.